my dear golly, it's this is going to be an archival recording as I try to put into words things that are coming into my head. Also, it's a little premature to talk about exactly what I'm doing. Going for a management job. And to a large extent, I'm trying to figure out how I will handle situations that I already know are true. Go ahead and say what it is. It's Eastern New Mexico University. I don't know if it's really a particular downgrade, but in a way that it is, I think that might be a good thing to do. It's so that concentration can be focused on the mechanics of doing information technology, as opposed to having a person who just oversees it. I think Clark Elswick, who was the IT executive for so many years, and I think he did a fine job. We're very different people, different attitudes. He got essentially promoted to a vice president position, and therefore his concerns ended up getting a little more diffused. And he couldn't concentrate as much on IT. Just reality. Not, you know, however you want to look at it. I'm glad to see that. I'm glad to see the change to say that the IT director will have less expectation of being part of a larger executive committee, perhaps. I don't know if that's really going to be true. That might, you know, it says I don't know if my pursuit of this role is part of a larger development program. I think it tends to be when it comes to God. And so these things might come to me too, but I trust others to make that a reality. You know, I said, if somebody sees what they want out of me and wants to develop that, I as much trust their judgment of it as my own. Although, to be honest, in the last executive role that I took, I was pushy. I was pushy. And in that case, it was passive aggressive, I think. Now, I don't have a real strong, clear view of what that means exactly. But it doesn't matter. Now I'm thinking of this particular situation and how one takes advantage of it. I had started composing a philosophy statement and how I would try to apply it at Eastern. And this morning I was thinking about, I don't remember the gentleman's name. In most cases, shadow IT is seen as evil, or was seen as evil in the past. To some degree, you have to be tolerant of its existence. You don't want to kill. I don't know if you want to call it innovative, but you can look at it that way, and that's good. And I was just thinking, wouldn't that be the best way to find and acquire new talent instead of trying to create new positions, which requires resources, money, and, you know, it's not just the salary, it's in everything else around it, but to transfer almost people to roles where we can make best use of their talents. It's almost like when you Kevin Mitnick, I think he has since passed away. He was a hacker, and he was kind of a dark, kind of jerky hacker. And he eventually got caught and did some time. And he became a security consultant. He went from being what's called a black hat to being a white hat. That the skills that he had acquired when he was in prison, he was not allowed to touch any computer equipment during that time, during those years that he was in prison. I don't think he was in prison for more than maybe 6 years. Taking that concept and applying it to finding new talent for our IT department, fostering that. Instead of looking at shadow IT as the enemy, we look at it as, you've got a bit of a skill set. Let's see what we can do about sharing. I think this is a good way because, you know, people get real territorial, you know. It's about power. It's about gain. Really good about being able to share these kinds of abilities, these kinds of talents, being able to give them access to larger IT resources, bring them in, read them in to the mission, make them available more, I don't even know, more broadly, just more effectively for the use of everybody else. Get them excited about it. I'm thinking of a gentleman that has run the interfaces to library resources. Run that software. Been in charge of, there is actually a proxy that is used. It's always kind of tricky because we're constantly having to interface, and people get grumbly when we ever have to. So that's something that we have to personally overcome because we want to be able to utilize that ability and talk it up and stroke, honestly, those kind of out of band people, the skill set that they bring, all those things to help them be more available to the larger community. If it ultimately proves to be best utilized to actually bring them into IT, to take their position and kind of transfer it from one to another. I know that's kind of tricky, and you know, it says I don't want to get into battles. Even to the point of people who clandestinely put networking equipment on our networks and maybe even find innovative ways to circumvent our security measures. This is, these are people to capitalize on, to bring them in, to do a Kevin Mitnick from being one of our troublemakers, one of our problematic people. And there's guys that say, I do this so that maybe somebody will pick me up and hire me to mitigate this. You know, your security people are those who usually have gotten good, perhaps even in a nefarious way, in getting into this. Now you say, oh, never play with them. Always going to be problematic. And you go, you don't want to become a launching point for attacks from other organizations. You definitely want to be pitting the skills of your white hats against the efforts of black hats. So you see these script kiddies, and you go, I want you to come and work for me. I want you to come work for me, and I want you to do this. This is, now you have to be able to on some level, and I trust in the Lord to help me to practically do this for me, is to help me know the soul of this person. What do they really want? What is their purpose here? And if they're going to be able to use who they are and what they can do in the service of the university, and really in the service of the university, in service to your employer. If you do black hat business, this is, we play a game. What you do outside of work is your own business. I can't stop people from, nor do I really want to. And this comes to kind of the next idea, which I've tried to bounce off people, and a lot of people just don't like it. And it's like, okay, I'm gonna constantly do this. It says it's what I do. And people go, well, it doesn't help us. We need to retain as much as possible the people that we need. And I am quite happy. I'm coming back to Eastern for reasons that Justin Lyles created a really, I don't know if I call it nurturing, but it's an environment that you either want to try to duplicate, which I'm not really good at, duplicating that, but that brings back people who jump ship. Jeremy jumped ship once, and we brought him back. I jumped ship how many times, and I came back. Jumping ship doesn't bother me. Clark seemed to have this almost weird sense of loyalties, and that he felt, I guess, on some level, a betrayal when people leave, which I don't. I say, I'll really be excited if you come back. Larry Wickham. If Larry Wickham wanted to come back to Eastern, or can I be honest, if we wanted to acquire ultimately Mesa Lands Community College, bring it into the rotation of Eastern New Mexico University. I said, I've been thinking this for a long time, and I have seen it happening, and I've seen how it could be done. I says, I would want Larry Wickham, who is the IT director. I don't know what his exact title is now, you know, for the kind of jiggering you have to do to justify the money you're giving somebody. To bring these people into the ENMU sphere and to be able to utilize them as much as is sensible. And what he was using, what he could bring to bear. And be able to better integrate and bring this stuff together. I think that's what these are the kinds of concepts that I see that we can bring to bear here. Steve Miller, I want him to function more. Steve Miller runs a cybersecurity outfit out of Ruidoso. He's more of an academic, but a cybersecurity guy nonetheless. I would like to utilize him. The problem is he really kind of is far away. I think he lives in like San Antonio or something. But he's part of the group. And it's like, I need him to do this. I think it would also be a feather in his cap. And that's always what you need to be doing, is saying, how can this work best for you and make your, you know, look good on your resume to be that person, hopefully to go in a direction that you want to go in. Oh, do we still want you to run the program? Yes, we want you to run that program. But we want to be able to utilize you, your skill set, your expertise in the broader system. We do. Says, and yeah, do I need him to get a sense for these black hat sorts that I might want to utilize, to acquire? And if he wants to do it remotely, you go, that's wonderful. I don't have an immediate problem with that. With the technology that we have, VPN, things like that. We want to kind of make this stuff come to pass. Now, I'm not excited about providing him his own little infrastructure nest. That would have to be cost justified. My tendency is to say, you know, let's get you get you a good VPN connection into the heartland that you can be trusted. And that's what we're going to be looking at. This is trust level. That is cybersecurity. I think he calls it the Cybersecurity Center of Excellence. That's one of the growing buzzword terms for these kinds of things. So I think that is the way to do it in the ENMU environment, is a more active sharing of our individual talents, of an increased integration. We have a lot of good talents, and they're talented out there. I said, you know what? I do want to acquire Larry Wickham. I want Eastern to take over Mesa Lands Community College. I want to acquire that skill set and maximize it as much as we can. And like I said, you know, there's a gentleman that I think that works for the library. I don't know if it's called Golden Library anymore. These things shuffle around in marketing, you know. And I try not to look too askance at marketing. That and the fact that there was an associate VP for marketing, and that's a higher grade than I am, so you don't want to poo-poo those who are in that field that you really want to you don't want to create enemies that are unnecessary. I don't see any need to be particularly confrontational toward much of anybody. Now the moment, the day may come, but I don't want to get there. But you don't use an adversarial situation. You don't do personal destruction. There's things that, and I think it mostly has to do with attitudes and things like that. You know, things that are going to be done the right way and things that can be done a little more fluidly. But yes, okay, Golden Library. There was a gentleman over there that, like I said, ran the scholarly library, which every university, probably even college. I don't know if they're duty bound, but it's a good idea as part of your attraction package to get the best faculty you can. But that's what you have to have. He kind of runs that interface in making that thing happen. And you're going, why am I not trying to utilize your understanding of that and your skill set? Why am I not trying to bring you into the information partnership that we have? And to almost kind of do it that way. You're still part of the university. You're still getting paid. You know, by the university, you're still an employee of the outfit, but we're going to find more innovative ways to do this. And I like that, the whole idea of a larger partnership, larger technology partnership, not just to get the beefs of people, you know. There's a technology committee, and it's mostly a gripe session. And how you stop it from being a gripe session and say, so what are you going to do to try to, you know. And let me tell you, every faculty member there is trying to scrabble for equipment or whatever, you know. I need bigger monitors. I need three big monitors to do what I do and to do it more efficiently. And you go, I'm not here to try to stop you. What I'm here to do is I've got limited time and resources to be chasing after money, grant money, stuff like that. I I need partners to help with finding and getting technology grants, giving them the opportunity to be a part of what we're doing, a part of what we're being. So wouldn't it be great if we could all have that? Tell you what. I says, you get on the lookout for grants that could purchase us this, because this is something that we can purchase one time. And if we make strategically good purchases, and we would certainly be looking for your help that way too. Not just to specify, but to go out and get it. Go out and get the quotes. Come back and help us do this. I says, let me tell you what I need. I need a larger resource pool. And that doesn't just mean money. And saying, why don't you go out and find this? And you go, I says, help me as a part of the larger technology pool. I need your contacts. I need your interesting insights. How can you get the most done with the least amount of money? Because we're smart. We've got smart people here. We want to be able to use more interesting things. Supercomputing. We had a supercomputer that it was, are we using it? Are we actually maintaining it? What are we doing? And you go, who is doing that? That's somebody that we need to pull into our technology pool. It's from here that we're going to be getting more talent that we may actually formally bring into ITS. These people who do their own website, you know, on their little desktop. And you go, oh, I hate that. Shadow IT. Oh, it must be stomped out and destroyed. But these are the people that we come back and we go, are they the ones that we can utilize? That person that knows how, really has a deep understanding of WordPress, for instance. We tried WordPress before. It got added on to somebody's plate that already had 20 other things on their plate. And they really didn't have, you know, it was just another headache. But if we grab that person who goes, I love doing WordPress sites. I know all about everything. And I've worked all this and I've worked all that. And you go and you look at it and you can say, oh, Shadow IT, must crush. Or you say, let's we could use industry terms. Let's turn it into the ENMU Technology Enterprise. And it's this large, expansive thing that everybody wants to be a part of. So I would love to sponsor competitions to say who can do the best job of bringing this or bringing that to bear. Create a community feel around it being a college thing, and you'll actually attract people. You'll actually attract more students because they talk to each other. They go and they talk to their brothers and sisters, to their buddies that were a couple of years ahead of them that went on to Easter, and they go, this place is amazing. I get to do this, and I do this, and I do this, and my IT department is actually fosters kind of a playground. I want sandboxes. Get our older technology, put it into places that are a little more accessible, away from the business side. It has nothing to do with the business side. Business side is we need to apply a different level of trust, but we need to create this alternate area, this alternate region. I'm not a gamer myself, and I don't know how many gamers actually end up being potential technicians. I don't know, but to a certain extent, I am willing to harbor gaming like Larry Wickham was doing to get potential fresh blood, you know, and maybe even call it that. I said, man, it's all about headhunting and fresh blood. I want fresh blood on the plate all the time. Do I want Will Lampkins? Do I want to foster his off-time gaming parties? I do. I want to provide as much off-site resources as we can. In the old days of time-sharing systems, this dates me, there was kind of the freewheeling after hours, I got a key to the server room sort of mentality. More of the technology leaders of today began there. And that's what I want to foster here, a modernized version of a server room. I utilize clothes until they're so ratty that Goodwill throws them away when I give it to them. When I'm done with something, it is an absolute piece of garbage and isn't worth anything. I want to foster a technology playground. Are nefarious things going to sometimes happen out of it? Probably so. Do I want it anywhere near mission, business critical stuff? Hell no. Do I want to go so far as to bring in another internet, outside internet network to keep it totally off networks that I have to keep functional? Yeah, I do. So it's almost a three-tier thing. Dun, dun, dun. I want to have a playground. I want to have a technology playground. I want to empty out. I don't want our old servers going to property and sitting there for 10 years while we figure out how to get rid of them. I don't want that to happen. I want us to recycle those to a playground, because out of that playground is going to come the amazing things that we do. And I want my people that work for me, to spend time in the playground. And it's cordoned off. And we only give it one or two IP addresses. And it's natted. It's back in the back. And as part of your playground responsibilities for the network guys is to administer that network too. But you don't have as many rules. And the biggest thing is to entice and identify and nurture that technical abilities, technical skills, technical people in a place that's fun, because you just don't put a lot of rules on it. It's like doing a potluck dinner. The minute you start putting rules on is the minute that your most creative, interesting people stop coming. One of the people that I know uses potlucks as an experimentation place. They'll go out there and they'll bring some interesting dishes, and people will come and people will try it out, and they'll say, "Hey, come try my thing out," and want to get their feedback. It's hard to find an audience, so you try to find one where there already is, and you want to foster and encourage that kind of stuff. Is it going to be a place where you say, "Oh, somebody might get food poisoning," and you go, "Oh, somebody might get food poisoning," and you go, "Oh my gosh, I can't, shut that down. Oh, that's horrible." And you go, "You know what? I am going to fight the tendency to be that way when it comes to the playground. Be in the playground. I want to spend some time in the playground. I want to put interesting stuff out there. I want to open up some ports so that other people can play with it. I want to do that." You give me something like that, and I may not retire. Clark, isn't that? Wouldn't you have fun in the playground? Old beat-up equipment that we don't need anymore, that we've replaced with one tech upgrade or another, bring it back down. Put it back to work. Use open source technology. Do I want to bring in people who can use open source technology so I don't have to fight the licensing game? I hate the licensing game. Hate it with a purple passion. I don't like having to deal with it. I want to use my business side wants to use the technology playground to look at ZFS. It's up and coming. It's really good. The wonderful assets of it is it's already got an infrastructure for wholesale infrastructure backup. On the fly, behind the scenes, you don't even see it. It's so baked into the actual underlying file system. Take it offsite. Offsite cloud-based storage facilities. Larry Wickham found just a gosh awful cheap cloud backup system. I want to pick his brains about it. Says, "Larry, not only do I want to pick your brains about, I want you to start being a proponent of, we can call it a merger." And as much as we want to kind of smooth over ruffled feathers about it, I ruffled a ton of feathers about it. I think people still hate me. Good. Good, good, good. And it says, "But we need to get there, and everybody, including HED, who hates me," well, some of them don't like me. The current secretary doesn't like me, or the one that was in place then. You know, things change so much, I can't, who can keep up? I want to start talking up this thing, because you know what? Because I want to acquire Larry Wickham. And I know you guys say, "I don't like Larry Wick. We don't like the way he worked. He didn't play well with others." And you go, "No, he doesn't. But we need to find ways to do it, because he has an amazing skill set. I've seen what he's been able to build over at Mesa Lands. And let me tell you, I want to acquire that guy. I want to acquire that guy, period. And if that means that we need to subsume the entire organization that he's connected to, I want to acquire that guy. I don't care. I can work. I've worked with personalities. Nobody cockier than technologists at Sandia National Laboratories. They're gods and they know it. And they love to show off their stuff. And it's pretty good stuff. Fear not. I pray every day. And God helps me every day. I have faith and hope that something amazing can come out of what we're doing. The robustness principle. I love the robustness principle. Be conservative in what you send. Be liberal in what you allow. As a server, and isn't that what we all are? What are we putting out there to be used by others, the public, or the university? What are we doing? Are we conservative about that? Yes. Be liberal about what you take in. DEI people, it's a fad, it's going away. I'm kind of grateful because it took us away from the much larger and frankly more wholesome undercurrent of I'm going to accept you and what and what you're putting out there as somebody I interchange with. But you got to know that that what I'm going to present is going to be more standard. Stuff like that. It's how you keep the system robust. It's how you keep things working. It's how you grow a vibrant infrastructure. To be honest, I think because of naval staring, and this is my personal philosophy, which is liberal, but I've got a good castle. I've got a good castle. My village outside of the castle walls, the playground, the Eastern New Mexico University's technology enterprise is going to be wild and woolly. And I want to see fantastic things happen. If we have to make sure it's in a whole nother building to make sure that people don't go near our data center, then that's what we need to do. One of our new construction projects, I want to have the data center move. If we're getting rid of Eddie Hall that floods, having our infrastructure ingress be right next to a huge laundry facility is, wow. That took a special kind of planning, if any. I'm not sure it was any kind of planning at all. It was space, and it made sense at the time. Now that most of it passes through fiber, it's easy to move things. It's easier to move things. And we have ways to shuffle information around. Mesa Lands has a ring topology, or at least they certainly look at it that way. Which in my mind, being kind of a star topology sort of fella, it just seems like a big loop that's problematic. I guess there's some way to manage it. To be really honest, I've never really looked at that side of this. It's ISM, Information Service Management. And how you would do that, how you would come at that and make it better. Because it just ends up being a raw expense. It isn't something that we can really capitalize on, except to try to make a unified system where you don't have a, you don't necessarily have to have a separate infrastructure for their service management and ours. You can integrate them and take the best of what we got. If Roswell has come up with a system that's really good, we're going to use theirs, and we'll transition. Especially if it's cheap. Oh my gosh, I am such a sucker for cheap, and I will wear it out. Open source is tricky. Sometimes things that you have been relying upon for years and years and years, it just kind of falls out of favor and nobody uses it and everybody just goes off in another direction. And you're left holding the bag and there's no support organization to really help you. That's the risk you take. I try to mitigate that by growing our capacity to handle more. If I find some wild, woolly database person out there, the problem is it's not very sexy. So the playground may not be the most wonderful place to do it, but will I put out an Oracle database playground? If that's possible through licensing things, and I think it is, I think at a certain size you can run Oracle at no charge, no support, no charge. And there's going to be people that take advantage of that, and I want them to, because I need somebody to be a Gary Darrow backup, and I don't have much of a Gary Darrow backup. Not to say anything bad about the people who have been hired and put into that role. Much rather hire and put into somebody in that role who has done interesting things down in the playground. And all the failed crazy toys, faculty are like little kids. I love you guys. Little kids. For new and shiny. Because new and shiny gets new students. And every professor wants to have a lot of bright, sparkly little students to come and be a part of what they're doing. Breaks up the just utter monotony of all this stuff. So I'd be looking at trying to create a playground. And the business case for it is to provide a talent incubator that we can use to expand our enterprise, our technology enterprise. We really haven't taken advantage of the concept of the funky tech, the functional technician, somebody who is in your business unit, for lack of a better term for it, in your department. You have a little departmental guy and you say, hey, I've got some money. I'm going to get a work study or two. And if I really like the work study, I'm going to try to dig together some money to try to hire them to be something, to take over some role. And a portion of that role is going to be in relation to technology. to better leverage what my department wants for technology, so I don't have to use ITS so much. I am not a centralizer. I'm a decentralizer. Because I know that ITS needs to be far more concerned with a couple of things. The infrastructure, the technology infrastructure, upstairs, the network, server side, for the lack of a better term for it, all these things need to come together in a good and solid way. Would I love to have our phone system, however little people are using the phone now? Phones are something of a weird distraction. I'm an email guy. If you want to contact me, the email is the best way to do it. And I would love to have a situation where I'm not paying for some service for our telephone work. I would rather have it out, encrypted but not classified. There's levels to things. People have layers, like a parfait. When our switches start losing ports, and it's time to get rid of them, shuffle them out, put it into the playground, integrate it into the playground. That many more ports available. Open them up, or let a natural hierarchy come. The guy who tends to run the network, who tends to help people get their stuff set up on the network, and says, you know what, we don't want to have just anybody doing this, so we're going to have this guy, and he's going to take care of all the port stuff. And you go, you know, you don't want to go off of a vendor particularly, because you want people coming in to have an understanding of your infrastructure, because you're using an old version of their infrastructure. You go, oh, that's just so dangerous. And you go, put it in a sandbox. Is it dangerous? Things to do that. Says, we don't have the resources to just pick up anybody. I can't talk people into moving to Portales, New Mexico. This place is a backwater. I know backwaters well. How many years have I been living on and off in Tucumcari? Let me tell you, man. Portales is upscale. You guys have a Walmart. Woohoo! Nice. It can be done. It can be done. Put it on its own leg of the network. Totally off. Totally off. In fact, we wanna come up with the most cheapest bandwidth we can come up with to bring into it, maybe even completely separate from the larger infrastructure. Air gap it, let them play. But the guys who work for you, say, keep an eye on it, and especially get to know the people who are there. Get to know the people that are doing something with it. It's a little trickier these days, because they can arrange to remote into it. Don't make it easy, because we want to foster some talent. I want these guys to be able to get around these things, to figure out how to do it. That way they can so that we can use their talents later on. Script kiddies are kind of interesting. You know, and gamers, I don't find script kiddies or gamers to be particularly useful, have particularly useful skills. But strangely enough, that's where you kind of get these people. That's where they come from. That's where the technology leaders of today, some of them got their chops that way. Not very many of them do it through a university system. The only reason why they came from universities predominantly was because back in that time, the universities were the only ones that had computers. Now the computers are so much more distributed. They're so much more out there. Everybody has a computer. Heck, they have a computer strapped to their hip, almost surgically implanted in their hand. Ugh, yuck. That was why they came from those places. And to think that what was being taught at these places was what created these people represents an ignorance of what happened. It was the background stuff going on. It was where you would do the clandestine pot parties in forgotten parts of the back computer room that somebody forgot to lock the door. Or somebody got a really low-level janitorial job at the data center and would let their buddies sneak in the back door. That was where these guys came from. You go back and you listen to their stories. I listen to their stories. And they'll tell you all the shifty things. Most of these guys are just uncaptured criminals. But it was just in this incredible need to play with and get understanding for how these things work. We want to provide a thing for that. Are we going to have interesting people come to school here? Yes. But are they going to come to school here? If we market it right, we will. Esports, I am indifferent to the point of being almost, I don't care. I'm not really that big into it because it's bandwidth hog. When you want to have competitions with other schools on this kind of thing, it's a bandwidth hog. And that's why it's like, do I want it to be on my network? And you go, nope. So it's because my network, this network over here, doesn't need to be bogged down. It's like, oh, they're having a tournament. We might as well just shut down the university because we can't do anything because they're sucking up all the bandwidth and they have this constant need for every single, it's not even Mbps, Gbps they can get. And winning has to do with how much bandwidth you can bring to bear. Woohoo! Anyway. So I think it was kind of a Faustian bargain. Now, is it going to happen? Yeah, it's going to happen. Just keep an eye on it. But blocks are more the common things. Are they going to work around it? Of course. This is, and when they do, keep an eye out for who can do it. Who gets the job done? Who makes it happen? It becomes obvious. Ask questions. Most of these guys are quite proud of what they're doing. Throw Will Lampkins in there and say, Will, you're buddies with these guys. Make it happen. It says, I want fresh blood. I want fresh blood in the enterprise. And you guys who work for me, one of my requirements of you is to find fresh blood. I want you to be looking for the people that will be taking your place or whatever. If that's the way you want to look at it, that's the way I typically look at it, is who's going to replace me? So we do that. You have to understand, Sandia National Laboratories is, to a large extent, a huge technology playground. They come up with crazy new ideas. They sell the government on it, or industry. and they're cooking. I tell you, if they know I'm in there, they're less likely to do something. It's less likely to be a break-in because I'm in there. That's another idea. Interesting idea. I just kind of was just coming to mind. What if we leave the thing open 24 hours a day? Richard Stallman, for all the hatred he catches, he was married to this stuff. He was around 24 hours a day. Anyway, so you make this stuff happen. You try to do like that. You bring in other people's. You foster the concept of the funky tech. I'm less centralized, more distributed. Expand the resource pool so that it can be used by a lot of people. Make the actual college more of a community. And with an attitude that we do good things from, you're still part of the community. Even when you leave, you're still part of the community. Be a part of us. Take tickets, work tickets, help people, deputize people that you trust. Now, don't give them a lot of it. Don't give them the keys of the kingdom. Reserve those for the chosen few. You guys get to be the chosen few. Isn't that cool? You guys are like gods. Don't let them in. Let them have fun. Oh, and it's going to make Steve Miller nuts. It's going to make Steve Miller nuts. Because he is a tied down. Everything's tied down. Tied down, tied down, tied down. I think. Maybe he's not. I don't know. We'll find out. If he's typical, I think I got kind of a sense for that. And yeah, I would almost take the existing computer center. The one of the big labs that we have now, I would chunk it up into another area. I would make the playground. I don't know what I'd do with the playground exactly. The whole idea of the building being a 24-hour operation is interesting to me from the standpoint of if I already have security around the clock, I might as well have the place open around the clock. That way, there's always going to be a tendency to have somebody be around. They're going to come in at goofy hours. They're going to stay at goofy hours. You know, all night gaming sessions. Fantastic. What does that mean? That means there's people around all the time. I was coming in at all hours of the day and night. That was just the way I was about this stuff. If I'm here, I'm doing it. Facilitated by the fact that my wife lives in Tucumcari. I go home and I see her on the weekends. And otherwise, I'm here. I get the impression that Larry Wickham, in his technology, just it rules his world. I think he ruined his marriage over it. I can't say that definitively. A lot of us have ruined marriages over this kind of thing. And let people work hours that work best for them. There's those that are customer facing, which means you're going to be spending time during working hours doing things. But then you'll be here into the wee hours just to get away from people. I understand that. Very vital. Yeah, we're going to have a playground. We're going to lock these things up? Yeah, we're going to lock these things up. If you're going to break into them? Probably. What are we going to do about that? You go, try to find out what's going on. Old security systems are put into place not to prevent evil, but to catch it happening. So we can have a talk with people. People are trying to be noticed. Let's see what we can do to help them be noticed. Anyway, okay, so that's kind of what I'm doing. That's an interesting idea. I want to put that on paper. I'm glad I've been talking about to kind of formulate it so that now I can put it down on the paper and it'll become part of the system. And you know what? I might not retire. And if I don't retire, you don't have to worry about my longevity, do you? So anyway, there we go. I need to stop this because I need to turn off my Wi-Fi. Talk to you later. Or Bluetooth. Bye.